Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Reclaiming Womanhood podcast. I am so glad that you are here today. Today is already October 7th, if you can believe that. And we are in episode number 20. And I'm very excited about that because that's another milestone. 20 episodes now in the books. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you for those of you who have gone into Apple Podcasts and left a review. I really appreciate that. It has been a huge encouragement to me to read those because other than that, there's not a whole lot of feedback back that I get on a regular basis, which is fine. Not looking for like praise or anything, but it does keep me going and encourages me. So thank you for that. I do appreciate it. And today I want to read a review, and that comes from Mom of Five Love Clicklist. And that says, Allison is amazing at whatever she is speaking about and always the truth gifted by God. And the reason I chose to read that review is because I do try to speak the truth, but it's not by my own doing that I speak the truth. It's not by my own efforts that I'm able to speak the truth. And sometimes I might be off a little bit, but so I guess I want to point that out because today we're actually talking about truth and why is truth important? Is it important? And is it changing? Is it something we discover or is it something that we define ourselves? And we're going to really dive into all those things today. But before we do, I want to give you a little illustration and how I felt the Lord speaking to me to speak on this topic today. So not too long ago, I sat down to record a podcast for this week, and I'll be honest with you, my mind was completely scattered. I couldn't decide what to record today. And I'm like, I don't like that feeling. Usually I feel like I have everything done in a few weeks ahead of time. I've gotten in a good groove and I was really behind and I just couldn't get my mind straight to get my thoughts on paper. And so it wasn't that I didn't know what to write about or to speak about. It was that I had too many things to speak about with everything going on with the presidential election, with the Supreme Court justice, with just all the things that are going on in the world. And then trying to like calm my thoughts and figure out what do you want me to talk about? Because there's just so much I could talk about. But I want to talk about what God puts on my heart. I was struggling that day. So in the meantime, I had my kids with me and they were just playing in the other room and I knew that they really wanted to go longboarding on the trail uptown and I'm like, well, I have to get this recorded. I have to. But then I knew they wanted to go longboarding. I'm like, okay, what should I do? And so I decided to just force out a podcast episode and get it recorded, get it done, throw it up there and just let it be whatever it was. And that's what I did. I recorded a podcast episode and then I finished recording and I'm like, ugh, I just have to delete that. That was horrible. You can tell I was totally scattered and it was just a yucky feeling and I just didn't like it. And I'm like, ugh, what a waste of like an hour of my life that I just spent recording a podcast episode that I just want to delete. So I'm like, whatever, it is what it is at this point. Let me go take the kids for their ride because they've been waiting patiently and then I'll come back and record another episode. So it was while I was on my jog that I felt what the Lord really wanted me to speak about today. And it was at that point where I was like, I should have just listened to my desire to go take my kids on the longboard ride before, because that's when the Lord spoke to me in the first place. So anyways, it is what it is. Sometimes it's important that we listen to that little whisper in our, it's always important that we listen to that little whisper in our ear that's telling us to go do something. And I did not listen and it made me, you know, waste a whole hour of my life. So I took my kids for a jog and while I ran, they got their longboards out and they longboarded ahead of me. If you're not familiar, a longboard is just basically a longer skateboard, where a skateboard's meant for like tricks. A longboard is more meant for cruising long distances, and we live on a dirt road, so we don't have a lot of long smooth paths. So I take them uptown sometimes and they love to take that opportunity and ride, and it's perfect because I can mostly keep up with them while they're on the longboards. They don't go too much faster than my running speed, as opposed to their bikes, they have to really slow down for me. But anyways, so while I was running, I stay behind them and I look up at them and watch them to make sure they don't get too far ahead and make sure, you know, they don't fall. And if, or if they do fall, there's nothing I can do. Then I can see them and run up to them. So that's why I stay behind them. Well, I was watching them. And while I was watching them, the Lord really put on my heart what he wanted me to speak about today. And that is this topic of truth. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world does truth have to do with longboarding? But let me explain. I'm in a Bible study at my church right now, and I highly recommend this Bible study. It's called Armor of God by Priscilla Shearer. And the entire study is on the armor of God, which is described in Ephesians chapter 6. If you're not familiar with it, I really encourage you to, when this is over, go or pause it right now and go read Ephesians chapter 6. I think it's verses 10 through 19. And it talks about, Paul talks about the armor that we as believers, he's talking to the church in Ephesus specifically, but it's something that we can apply to our lives. Absolutely, most certainly, we need to apply it to our lives, as a matter of fact. And it's the armor that believers need to put on so that they can fight the spiritual battle that is in front of them. And there is a spiritual battle in front of each and every one of us. Everything that we are experiencing in this life, the conflicts that we see, the frustrations that we might have, we are not fighting with that person. We are not fighting with people. It's not people against people. It is a spiritual battle that is in front of us right now. More than I've ever seen in my entire life is there a spiritual battle in our nation. There is a battle between good and between evil, and it is becoming more and more apparent. And Paul talks about this armor that we need to put on to fight this battle. It's not a battle that we can go out and fight on our own, and I think that's been one of the greatest mishaps that I've seen taking place, is that we're trying to fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. We can't fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. We must fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. And that is so important. And that is what Paul really talks about. Well, in this Bible study, the very first piece of armor that is talked about in Ephesians is the belt of truth. And the Bible study took a long time to really hash out that one tiny little verse about the belt of truth. And as a matter of fact, I think it was over a week that we spent hashing it out, maybe a week or two. And it was just really eye-opening. And how the Bible study author Priscilla Shearer explains it, she explains that the belt of truth explained in Ephesians is like the core, the spiritual core muscles that we have. And she explains it like this. She explains it that she reminds us of what your core, your actual physical core is. And that's the central muscle area in your body that impacts everything else you do. She says here, a strong core helps with your balance, your stability, your resistance to injury, your stamina over time and under pressure. In fact, as the aging process sets in, a weak core could mean the difference between what being able to walk upright or being relegated to a chair. The condition of your core affects everything. And she compares that belt of truth to our physical core strength. The belt of truth is in turn our spiritual core strength. And she goes on to say that truth is your core support. It provides the essential backing you need when you're in the midst of spiritual warfare. So I'm watching my kids longboard and I'm like, this reminds me exactly of what she's talking about. So I have my daughter, her name is Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is, she must have a really strong core. I'm just guessing that because she's always been really well balanced. She's always been able to do those like roller skating very quickly, pogo stick, like all those things she catches on very quickly. And that just tells me she's got a great sense of balance. And longboarding is no exception. She can hop on that longboard and just glide and ride and do things that I'm just like, it makes me cringe because I think she's going to slip off and it's just hard to watch as a parent sometimes. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So anyways, she's really good at longboarding though. She's got a great sense of balance. And I think that's because she has a really strong core. So she makes it look easy. She knows without a shadow of a doubt, when she gets on that longboard, she's going to cruise. She's not fearful that she's going to fall. She is not, checking herself and wondering like if she's going to have a hard time staying upright, standing firm on her longboard. No, she has a very strong core, so she is confident that she can do it. Now, does she say to herself, I have a strong core and I know I can do it? No, but her body knows that. Her body knows that, and so therefore she has that confidence. I also have my son. Now, my son, I'm guessing, does not have as strong of a core as my daughter, and he is a bit younger, because when I watch him get on his longboard, it is much more measured, and it is much more, he's much more apprehensive, and he stumbles and falls where she never falls off that thing. Never. I've not, knock on wood, I've never seen her fall off of it, but he will get on it and then he will wobble and then he'll fall off. Now he usually catches himself and the longboard goes the other way and I cringe, but it is all good. Okay. It's all good. I tell myself, as always learning. And so I compare it though to the core. And like she says in the Bible study, your core, the truth is your core strength of your spiritual foundation, the same way that our core is the physical strength of our physical being. So as I watched my son, he is what I know spiritually. I'm not saying he has a weak core by any means, but I'm saying physically I can see the difference between having a strong core and a weak core. And so my son, though, watches my daughter and he looks at to her and he's like, well, she makes it look so easy, and he gets frustrated. So he tries to make up for his, because he's not therefore able to go as fast, and he can't keep up as much as her because he keeps falling off. And so he looks to her and he wants to make up for it. And so how does he make up for it? By his own efforts, by his own strength. He gets his foot going really, really, really fast. And then he tries to speed up as fast as he can and then get up on that longboard and glide along as while he can with her. But what happens when he goes really, really fast and puts too much effort in? Well, when he puts too much effort in, he gets too much momentum going in his body and then he stands up and falls off that board. And I think it's very much the same in our own lives. When we see someone who seems to be, who we know is rooted in truth, even if you don't know the root in truth, you can tell someone who is rooted in truth because of the fruit of their life. They tend to go through life seemingly able to discern things. And maybe we look to that person and we're like, you know, I want to be like them. And we try to put in our own effort and we try to, you know, do it by our own means, and we find ourselves stumbling. And that's what I really want to talk about today, is the truth. And why is it important? Is it changing? And is it something that we discover, or is it something that we decide? So first and foremost, why is it important? So if we look around right now in our world, and I always say that, I say that a lot in my podcast, if we look around our world, but you know what? We got to look around our world right now. There's just a lot going on and a lot that is changing, and it's changing very quickly. As a matter of fact, I feel like I've heard somewhere that what's changed in the last 60 years has been more of a rapid change than what has changed in hundreds of years. Just so much has changed technologically, morally, in so many areas. So much change has taken place. So when we look around our world, we have so many messages coming at us, and it is imperative that we know the truth. But there are two schools of thought on this. There is a school of thought that there is relative truth, where everyone decides their own truth, and that there is absolute truth, where there is one truth, one standard that is unchanging. And I'm sure you can guess what school of thought that I fall in, and I'll back that here in a second. But I first want to look at the relative truth school of thought very quickly and just point out the problem with that. You see, there is the school of thought, like I mentioned, where people believe that every single person decides their own truth. And when you do that, well, what do you decide it based on? You're deciding it based on your feelings. You're deciding your truth based on your past experiences. You're deciding it based on, actually, she touched upon this in our Bible study, which just a side note, I highly recommend this Bible study. If you have the opportunity, do it. You can get it online and do it on your own, or you can get a group of women together. It's the Priscilla Shear Armor of God. I'm going to link it in the show notes. I am not spoiling it, I promise, by giving you these couple little pointers. It is so full of so much awesome information and just a great deep dive study into a very small portion of scripture, but a very deep dive study of it. I highly recommend. So anyways, like I was saying though, with relative truth, yes, if we think that every single person defines their own truth, they're defining that based on their feelings, their past experiences, their current situation, their conscience. And those things can change. Our feelings change. Our past experiences change. As we live life, we have more past experiences and our opinions on those will change. Our conscience is going to change based on our past experiences. We might look at things a little bit differently. So to think that every single person makes their own truth, then there's no way that we can establish a right and a wrong. And I'm talking just from a legal standpoint. How can we be the ones to say what is legal and what is illegal, and what should be deemed right and what should be deemed wrong? Because if we're going to say that murder is wrong and should be illegal, well, then who's to say that, though? If everybody creates their own truth, what if someone says, you know what, I think that murder shouldn't be illegal. I think that we should have the right to end someone's life, which currently in this nation we do. It's called abortion. And I've done episodes on that. I did an episode on that just recently, and I'm actually next week interviewing the director of a pregnancy center, which I highly recommend to you guys tuning into that because it's awesome. But my point is, if we allow relative truth, there's no way that we can say what is right and what is wrong, because each person's right and wrong is going to be different. Now, we have a movement that states that this relative truth is a freeing thing. Create your own truth. Be your own God. That is the message that we're hearing. And the problem is that just creates a state of chaos because nobody is going to agree on this absolute truth. And our founding fathers knew that. And I think it's so important that we realize what our nation was founded on. Now, I'm not trying for this to get political, but I have to point this out. Our nation was founded on biblical foundations. It was founded on a Christian framework because the founding fathers knew that there needed to be an absolute standard of truth to compare things to, because they knew that mankind, including themselves, tend towards evil. We tend towards selfishness. We tend towards desiring power. And so in order to protect, but they had come from a country that was like that, and they wanted to create a nation that was truly free. And that is why we live in the greatest nation on this planet currently. And we need to vote to protect that. Just a little plug there. We have to vote to protect that freedom. And what I see a lot of times happening, especially in a younger demographic, and I'm not going to say completely younger, is jumping on these bandwagons that of wanting to stand up for creating your own truth, being free in that. And I don't think we understand the implications behind allowing each and every person to create their own truth. Now, I'm not saying everybody can't do in life what they feel led to do. That's different. I'm saying creating our own truth is a huge, huge problem and can destroy a nation if we vote in such a way that will allow us all to create our own relative truth. So where do we find the absolute truth? And that goes on to answer the question, is truth decided or is truth discovered? And I believe that truth is discovered, and it is discovered in God's word. And there is so much. So as I'm preparing for this, I'm looking through my Bible and I'm trying to find scripture that's going to support what I wanted to talk about today. And quite frankly, I did not have any trouble finding anything. Finding, you know, the right scripture to support that truth is in God's word. I more so had trouble narrowing down what I was going to reference because there's just so much there. So I turned to the book of John, and I was reading John chapter 14. And in it, I think it just really, really explains everything very, very, very well. So it says right here in John, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in that very verse alone, Jesus is stating, if we ask the question, what is truth? Well, the better question is, who is truth? And that is Jesus. Jesus is truth. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the way to truth as well. And he is the way to eternal life. That is through Jesus. And I've heard people say, we base our absolute truth in the Bible, then we're restrained and we're restricted to do what we really want to do. And here's, I think, the flaw in that is that it's not restraining, because I think the way people look at maybe Christianity and the Bible is that you have to check off all these things. You have to abide by all these rules to be called a Christian. And then once you do all these things and you check off all these boxes and you follow all these commands that God's given you, then you can become a Christian. And I would agree with you. If that's how you're looking at Christianity, that sounds very restricting, very restraining, and quite frankly, impossible. Do you want to know why? Because it is impossible. It is impossible to do every single thing that God has laid out in Scripture for us to do. It is impossible. But that's not exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So our first stop is Jesus. Our first stop is Jesus Christ, coming to him and saying, Jesus, I know I cannot do this on my own, and I need you to help me do it. And then when we look at the just chapter 14, we see what happens. Jesus goes to say this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith, and mind you, Jesus says, I tell you the truth over, I think it's around 70 times in the New Testament. And so that right there should tell you something. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the truth. So he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. So what he's saying there is when we put our faith in him, we don't do the right things to put our faith in him. We do the right things after we put our faith in him. Why? Why do we do that? Is it by our own efforts? Well, bear with me here and let's keep reading. And he says this, if you love me, you will obey what I've commanded. So when we love Jesus, we in turn, it's a response. We obey as he commanded. And again, you might be thinking, is it because of my own efforts? Let's keep going. And Jesus says this, we're in verse 16, still in chapter 14 of John. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. He will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So when we put our faith in Jesus and we obey him we put our faith in him and we love him, like we fall in love with him. I'm not saying you love him because you're trying to love him. I'm saying you love him because you realize what he did for you. And when we realize what he did for us, meaning he came and he died for us. He died in our place. He took the consequence that we deserve. Let me ruffle some feathers here. Think of the people rioting and looting in the streets and breaking into people's businesses. And it's probably angering for you to watch that because you see how wrong that is and you just see how unjust that is. And now take yourself and say to the officer, you know what? I'll go to jail in their place, even though we're not even seeing arrests happening. Not going to go there. And you say, though, to the officer, you know, I'm going to go pay the consequence for that person who is breaking into businesses and starting them on fire and looting and stealing. I'm going to go spend my time in jail for them so they don't have to. What? That seems unthinkable to us. What? We would never want to do that. But that's what Jesus did on a much larger scale. He knew that we were going to come to this earth. We were going to do things that were horrific and evil. And we were going to tend towards evil. We were going to struggle in our sin. He knew that. But he loved us so much. He died. He paid the consequence in our place because he knew that there's no way we could pay that sin debt. When we sin, we have a debt basically that we can't pay. But when we accept Jesus, I think I heard someone say this the other day and I can't remember who it was, but when we accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life, we get a deposit from God's bank account into our account, okay? Into our spiritual bank account. I wish I could quote whoever said that. I'm sorry if you're listening and I'm not giving you the credit. We get a deposit from God's bank account that will cover that forever and ever and ever. And now we get to spend eternity in heaven. But without that, we could not, because we cannot pay that debt. So Jesus is saying when we put our faith in him and we love him in response, we are going to obey his commands. Why? Because he called a counselor. He asked God the Father to send a counselor to be in us, to live in us. And who is that? That is the Holy Spirit. And in John, in verse 17, it says that this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So that is what, when we live by the standards of biblical truth, it's not that we have a list on our bathroom wall that's saying, okay, rule number one, rule number two, okay, these are all the truths. And I gotta abide by that one. No, that's not how it works. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us who is convicting us of truth and of, I heard it said this the other in my Bible study. I'm going to read the quote to you, but it's convicting us of not just right and wrong, but convicting us of true and almost true. You see, the lies that we see in this world right now are not being shouted as extreme lies. A lot of them, the best of lies are the ones that are super close to God's word. They're super close to being true, but that is what the Holy Spirit does in us. When we submit and commit our lives to Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in us, the Holy Spirit convicts us of those truths that are almost true, but not quite true. Okay, we see it with Eve in the Garden of Eden. God said, do not eat. He said to Adam, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So then the serpent comes to Eve, and Adam must have told Eve what God had said because she knew somewhat what God had said, but she didn't quite get it right. And the serpent twisted God's word and he said, did God really say you couldn't eat from any tree? Almost like trying to make her feel like, wow, he said I couldn't eat from any tree. Like he really twisted God's word. Did he really say you couldn't eat from any tree? Like, and he was really trying to make her second guess herself. And she's like, no, he said we couldn't eat or even touch the fruit from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, which she got it kind of right, but not quite right. Like, he didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said you couldn't eat it. Anyways, my point is she couldn't decipher the difference between true and almost true. She's totally fell for what the serpent was deceiving her in. And then she ended up falling for it, eating the fruit, sending it out of the world. And here we are today. So my point is, the reason truth is so important and that we have a firm foundation is truth in truth is that it is our guide. It is our navigation. It is our spiritual strength to discern what comes at us in this world. So how do we obtain truth? Well, I said it a little bit earlier, but the first stop is Jesus. If you haven't given your life to Jesus and made him the Lord and the leader of your life, then that's your first step. You have to come to the Lord, and you can do it on your own, in your own home, and tell him that you know you are a sinner, that you cannot pay that sin debt without him, and thank him for his sacrifice and ask him to come into your life and be the Lord and leader of your life. It's very simple, but you have to mean it in your heart, and then he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And that is how it works. And when he does that, then your relationship begins with the Lord. And how do you find truth? Well, you spend time with him in prayer. You seek out his will. Where do we find the will of God? Well, guess what? We just so happen to have a love letter that the Lord left us, and it's called the Holy Bible. Spend time reading your Bible, and you will come to know little by little, and the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and will help you to discern the truth, right from almost right. And I want to read you this in scripture. And it's a psalmist, and he was talking about how he loves God's word. And let me just read it to you. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from the evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path." And so just if you notice, by being in the word, the psalmist is saying that is what's given him wisdom. That's what's given him knowledge. And that's what's given him a hate for the evil path. And because sometimes we can have a couple paths in our lives, and if we don't have that wisdom and discernment, we don't see what's so wrong with the evil path. And that's also why God gives children parents, because your children do not have the Holy Spirit living in them until they give their life to Christ. And so that is why we as parents, it's our job to help our children discern and guide them along until they make that decision. And the Holy Spirit then will be living in them and will be working in them himself. Okay, so if you're still not convinced on how important truth is, I want to ask you this question. How powerful do you think the enemy is in your life? Now, I don't mean to bring some doom and gloom message to you, but I do think that if we don't believe in the importance of truth and that being firmly founded in God's word is so important, then I think that we aren't sizing up our enemy as we should, because there is a very real enemy and who would love to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to say this too. If you think that I'm trying to tell you that you need to have truth simply because you need to check off the boxes, do the church thing, it's just another thing you have to do to be the good person. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Truth is something. Being founded in truth and having a firm foundation in God's word and living your life for Christ is so much more beyond filling that church bucket. It's so much more beyond just doing that because that's what the good American family does. So much more beyond that. It is about living out your life on this earth for the Lord. Forget all the checking the box things. It is about standing up for what's right in the face of what's evil. And right now there is a huge battle at stake in our nation. So it's so important that we know and we vote for truth. I want to share with you on chapter 4 in John, and that's when I lied. I want to share with you Luke chapter 4, and it's about when Jesus was brought into the desert to be tempted. So Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist at the beginning to start his ministry, and it tells us in chapter 4 that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, which was where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was going to fast, okay? So I want to point out something there. Two things. A, he was filled with the Holy Spirit during this point. B, he was led by the Spirit to this desert for this time of fasting. But then who shows up? Because when we're fasting, what happens? I don't know if you've ever fasted for food, or maybe you fasted for something else in your life. What happens when you fast? You are hungry and you get tempted to possibly eat. If you've ever fasted before, you would understand that when you're fasting, your body is physically weak, or maybe your mind, depending on what you're fasting from, you are in a weaker state. You're more susceptible to temptation. And so who shows up to Jesus in the desert? There you go. This, the devil. The devil shows up and tempts Jesus. So I want to point out, he was not tempted by the Holy Spirit. He was tempted by the enemy. The enemy is the tempter, okay? And so the enemy came and he kept saying to Jesus different things. He kept twisting, like he's very good at God's word, kind of saying what God said, but twisting it. And Jesus keeps responding specifically with truth, with scripture, with God's word, his father's words. And he was correcting Satan. And Satan wasn't offering Jesus anything that was out of Jesus's ability to do on his own, but he was offering Jesus the wrong way. He was saying to Jesus, if you worship me, I will give you all of this. Well, Jesus could get all of this because he is God, but Satan wanted to tempt Jesus to do it the wrong way. And so he came to him at his weakest, at his most vulnerable state, and he offered it to him right then and there through the wrong way by worshiping him. And we have to be reminded that the enemy does the same thing to us. He wants to give us these things, tempt us into these things that we want in our weakest moments through the wrong means, because there's only one way to achieve that joy that we are all seeking in this life. There's only one way to achieve eternal life, to achieve eternal riches, and that is through Jesus Christ. We just read it, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have to know that, and we have to be able to decide and be aware of when the enemy's coming at us and trying to tell us small lies. So he goes on, and he keeps trying to tempt Jesus, and finally, the end of that section says, when the devil had finished all of his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And I want to focus on that for a second. The enemy is going to come at you at opportune times. He's not going to waste his time when you are strong and when you are just on fire. He is going to come at you during those opportune times when you are feeling weak, when you are questioning yourself, when you are doubting, when you're not aware of what is true and what is not true. And you're kind of on the fence and you're not sure, he's going to come at you. He's looking for an opportune time. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so like I said, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to bring a fire and brimstone gospel to you, but I'm just trying to make you aware that truth is important, because there is a real adversary out there who wants to bring lies to us. And it is so imperative that we are rooted in truth. So my question to you is this today. Do you feel like you are rooted in truth? Have you given your life to Christ, and have you committed to following him, making him the leader of your life? If the answer is no, do that today. If the answer is yes, then I'm asking you this next question. Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to guide you, or have you just kind of let your relationship with the Lord grow stale? I remember my pastor always saying, if we're not growing, we're moving backwards. There's no such thing as being stagnant in your faith. You're either moving closer to the Lord or further away. So we can do that by being in fellowship with the Lord every single day. Seek him out. He wants to have a relationship with you, and he will give you that wisdom. I think it's James chapter 1, verse 4. Let me flip there really quick. It says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. It's verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So when you ask, you have to believe that he will give it to you. And so if you feel like you are not wise enough to navigate through what's going on in the world, and you just don't even know what stance to take because it's so confusing, I encourage you to seek out the Lord for his truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you if you allow him, and spend time in your word every day. I've recorded a podcast on the importance of that, and I encourage you to go back. That was episode number 6. So go check that out if you have not already. It's tips for helping you establish that super important habit of being in your word every day. And there's also an episode about prayer, which is episode number 10. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those. I'll link them down in the show notes. All right, guys, I hope this was an encouragement to you today, and also a challenge. I hope it challenged you to seek out truth for what it is, and to take every single thing under the light of God's word, every single thing that comes at us. And I encourage you when you vote as well. When you vote, look ahead on your ballot. See what's going to be on your ballot. Take a look at the candidates. There are great guides out there that you can use that will help you see how these candidates stand and what stance they take on important issues. do the work and vote for people who stand up for truth. There's not going to be a perfect person on the ballot. There's just not going to be. And I am going to do a podcast in the near future about voting. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but we are going to talk about the importance of how to vote. And it's not about, I'm going to give you a clue, it's not about the person. It is absolutely 100% not about the actual person on the ballot, but it's about the policies that they stand for. And you know, it's not about how what they say they're going to do, but what they've already done. That's the what's super important, because actions speak louder than words. But like I said, that's for another day. I hope you guys have an awesome week, and tune in next week. I'm so excited for you guys to hear from Erica Hale, the director of the Pregnancy Center of Lapeer. She just has such an awesome, awesome gift at what she does. And she has so much to share with us about the work that the Pregnancy Center does. And really, she is a representative of the pregnancy centers around the nation. So if you want to know the awesome work that they are doing, tune in next week. You will not want to miss that episode. All right, guys, have an awesome week. Talk to you soon. For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit AllisonPowers.com. Thanks for listening.